This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ian Rappaport.
Here's what we know right now.
Insider for the NFL Network.
Get out your notebook. There's more.
Breaking news across the National Football League.
This is something that has been going on through the wee hours of last night. Really round-the-clock discussions.
The Rap Sheet and Friends podcast.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Ian Rappaport with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Ian Rappaport is on Twitter at Rap Sheet, NFL Network, NFL.com. The Rap Sheet and Friends podcast. Their guests. Some up-and-coming quarterback prospects, Duke's Daniel Jones and Missouri quarterback Drew Locke. So, Ian, help me figure something out here. I read on Monday on NFL.com. I get the email in the morning. I know, but it's nice. You send me this email running everything down to greet my day. And here's Vic Fangio. And Vic Fangio is talking in no uncertain terms about Band-Aids and what you don't want to do. And he is inveighing against what the Bears did, stopgap measures, trying to slap Band-Aids on things, and that's how you ruin your talent base, et cetera. And then yesterday, in the middle of our show, we find out that John Elway is trading for Joe Flacco. How does that square with everything that Vic seems to stand for when it comes to stopgaps and Band-Aids?
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple different things that have gone into it. First of all, Vic is not the GM. John Elway is the GM, and there's one thing that he has showed during his time in Denver is that he runs the show. He makes the calls, for better or worse, on the quarterback position, on who gets to continue being the head coach, everything. So what John Elway wants, that's what happens. And, you know, I think for the quarterback position, Case Keenum is what he is. I think he's a very good backup. You know, would probably be among the top five backups in the NFL, which is a great place to be in. But, you know, probably miscast as a starter. Obviously a mistake from, you know, the Broncos last year. They passed on a possible franchise quarterback. They passed on possibly trading up for a possible franchise quarterback, and they went with Bradley Chubb and Case Keenum. And I think this year it was, well, we wouldn't like to put a Band-Aid on it, but if we don't see that there's a franchise quarterback where we're going to pick at 10, then we have to get someone who's better than Case Keenum. And so that's kind of what they did. It's why I don't think they're going to take a quarterback this year, and it's why they're probably going to be in the same exact position next year.
So I was going to ask if you feel that there's any sort of drive for them to find that quarterback to back up Flacco and be the next something franchise quarterback in Denver. There has to be some sort of pressure on the Broncos to not have another losing season. But you've also got to get the future started if you think Vic Fangio is your coach that's going to be there for 10 years like he said he wants to be.
Right, and so I think what you're seeing now is kind of dual tracks. You're seeing Joe Flacco come in as the starter, and he is the unquestioned starter for the 2019 season, and that's it. They're not extending him. They're not guaranteeing money. They're basically leaving his contract alone due to make $18 million. So there's no commitment after the year. So I think for the Broncos, they are all in on Joe Flacco this year. Meanwhile, it's who is going to be our quarterback for the next 10 years, and if they find one in the draft this year, then I would imagine they'll try to make the pick. But, you know, you have to make this trade thinking you have an idea of what's going to be there in the draft and what you actually like or don't like. So, you know, it feels to me like this is a trade you make if you are not going to take a quarterback in the draft, and then you're probably going to have to wait until 2020. Maybe, you know, Justin Herbert from Oregon, who John Elway likes, maybe he's available at some point near where you're picking.
Antonio Brown has sort of said his goodbyes publicly, yet at the moment he's still property of the Pittsburgh Steelers. How does this end and when?
I think it probably ends right around where his $2.5 million roster bonus is due. So that's March 17th. And, you know, a trade could happen now. A trade happened yesterday. And it's one of the things that, you know, sort of now goes on with this NFL where trades are much more commonplace than they ever used to be. But the Steelers are very deliberate. And there's no games to be played. I don't get the sense they care about the quote-unquote noise. I don't get a sense they are frustrated by everyone talking about them. They're going to make the best deal for them. So I think there's probably a good chance he gets traded. Slim chance that they reconcile, you know, probably ends up being for something like a second round pick. And, we'll see where it ends up. But I do think the Steelers will at least be deliberate right around to the March 17th point when they have to give him the roster bonus and decide, do they or do they not?
Will Brown take it another step and start having contract demands regardless of where he ends up? I mean, does he have that kind of push?
Well, I mean, sure. You know, if they can, if a team decides to trade for him without letting him know and working out a deal, then that's the risk they take. There's always a risk that he could not show up. He could hold out. He could arrive and then leave. I mean, there's all sorts of different things you can do to demand a new contract, and he has not demanded a new contract, but I would imagine that any team trading for him probably thinks he's going to want some guaranteed money potentially in a new deal, which obviously just adds to the price a lot.
How interested were the Bears really in Kareem Hunt before he signed with the Browns? We had speculation yesterday from one of our experts that it was the potential interest in the Bears that forced the Browns' hand. Do you know if that's true?
I believe that there was some interest. I know they did their homework. I know there were several other teams that also did their homework, like the Bucks, for instance. And there were some. There was interest. I know Kareem Hunt did have the opportunity to sign with several teams. I think, but don't know for 100% sure that the Bears are one of them because, you know, did they make an actual contract offer or not, or did they just kind of have interest? You know, it's tough to know. Just like the only coach who gets offered a head coaching job is the one who actually takes it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so he was able to get incentives that could push him over $1 million, indicating he had several options, and I think that the Bears were one.
How did the NFL's investigation not being fully completed affect his signing with any team? Were the Browns just the one that were willing to do it without the investigation done?
Oh, no. It's the other way around, because what he wanted and what teams wanted was to sign before the investigation actually happened.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're going to sign a player who, before the investigation officially concluded, because you're going to sign a player who is, let's say that this is 2 months from now, and the Bears sign Kareem Hunt, who is suspended 10 games. Well, signing a suspended player is something that would, I would imagine, dramatically increase the amount of outcry there would be. Right now, he's just under investigation, so he's probably going to be suspended. No one knows for sure. You don't know how many games. It was a much more of a certainty for Kareem Hunt and teams to sign now as opposed to after the suspension, because that, you know, probably brings on more criticism and forces the spotlight on signing that people probably don't want the spotlight on.
As we look at Kyler Murray and his entrance into the professional football ranks, on what is this a referendum, if anything, and how do we view that through a certain prism? Because if this is about how short can a great quarterback be, there's a long-term aspect that maybe he could have a great first 2 years, and then maybe the physical demands of the position wear down. But we look at everything from a game-to-game and a play-to-play lens. What's the best way to critique whatever this is going to be?
Yeah, I think there's two prisms that we see this through. One is, how much is the college game and the high school game before that creeping into the NFL? And it used to be everybody would want the 6'5", you know, strong passer who could throw deep and play action. That is not the game now. I mean, it's the game for some teams. It's probably going to be the game for the Broncos next year, but it's not for everyone. And the college game, You know, it used to be the spread offense. Now it's RPOs. No one takes a ball from under center anymore. I mean, all of that is creeping into the NFL game, and this is probably the most college-like quarterback that we've seen. I mean, Baker kind of was, this guy even more so, the most college-like quarterback we've seen come into the NFL and be this high profile. So it's basically a referendum on how much is the college game going to creep into the NFL. The other thing is, you know, we all, media and then scouts, the people we talk to, GMs, make a huge deal about height. Everyone wants measurables. There are teams that say, we will not draft a pass rusher who's shorter than 6'3", for instance, whatever it is. Some teams have very strict height, weight, sort of analytics to where they would draft a guy or would not draft a guy. This is going to ruin all of it. And Baker kind of did also, but you know, it's not, you can't be 4 foot tall and play quarterback, right?
Right. At some point, there is an actual limitation.
Adult, so
right.
Yeah.
Right. You can't be 5 foot tall and play quarterback, but Kyler Murray is 5'9". Is that okay? Is that too short? Well, then 5'11" is okay, but 5'9" isn't. I mean, I have a million questions just as a fellow short guy. And I can't wait to see what we all figure out, because it might be that he's too short, but you don't know until you really see it on an NFL field. That's why this is probably as big a projection as we've seen in the draft in years.
Hey, Ian, it just occurs to me that this is about as close to a slow time of the year as you get. So I was wondering, did you sit down and kick up the feet and watch the AAF this past weekend, or did you use that as vacation time? And what are people telling you about that league?
I'm going to go snowboarding next week.
All right.
So that will be my vacation time. And my family will be going skiing, so I'll be taking lessons by myself. It's fine. I'll be alone a little bit. It's fine.
Seriously? Wait, careful, man.
So
you're choosing snowboarding by yourself rather than
I
skiing?
I chose snowboarding. No, okay. I chose snowboarding last year with my wife.
Okay.
It was fine. We took lessons together. And this year she wants to try skiing, which is totally fine. But it means we take lessons by ourselves, which is kind of messed up. But it's not my decision. My boys are doing ski school, so it's all fine, so I'll be by myself.
I get it, man. At least I'm with you.
It's, you know, officially I'm on board with whatever my wife chooses.
That's
so
good policy.
Really,
yeah.
Yes, publicly that is my policy. Off the record, I'm working a different angle, but it's fine. But I did watch the AAF a little bit. I couldn't believe the reaction on Twitter. I couldn't believe it. Like, and I know it's football, and we all love football, and the people I follow love football. But I was like, is this a coordinated effort? Like, I couldn't believe the amount of people that were tweeting about it. And I watched the football. It was, you know, pretty good. Seemed like, you know, regular mid-level college football, where I, like, would turn on, you know, a network, and it's like, you know, Colorado State versus someone on a Tuesday night. And I'm like, okay, like, I'll watch this for a little bit. I recognized some names, didn't recognize others. I thought it was enough to where I understand why we at NFL Network and CBS Sports and everyone made an investment into it. Like, maybe this will be what everyone's kind of been looking for.
But I think by it not being awful, it's almost like it was good. Absence of bad turned into
100%.
Good. And I think low expectations.
And we've had expectations for these sort of things before. I mean, the XFL, everyone thought was going to take over the world, and after 3 weeks, we realized it sucked. The NFL has been dying for a developmental feeder league where offensive linemen can learn, quarterbacks can learn, and, you know, there's just a different space for people to get real football during a time when the NFL is not allowed to teach. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is what everyone's been looking for. And if that's the case, then I understand why the NFL has invested in it, because maybe it works enough.
Ian, thanks as always.
Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.